From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. We reject revolution, folks. Peaceful restoration is the answer. Let's start out with a quick recap of yesterday's broadcast, shall we? We had our guest on, Mrs. Becky Akers, for 2 hours. She's a freelance writer, historian, whose work and articles have appeared in the Christian Science Monitor, the Washington Post, Barron's, the New York Post, American History Magazine, the Independent Review, Military History Magazine, the Ottawa Citizen, so that's in Canada, right? LouRockwell.com, Forbes.com, not to mention many other publications and websites. BeckyAkers.wordpress.com is her website, and best of all, she appears on Liberty Roundtable Live monthly. Now, Becky Akers, ladies and gentlemen, is also an author. She's written two incredible novels by them before they're banned. First one, Hailstorm, a book about Nathan Hale. The second one, Abducting Arnold. Revolutionary new novels. The Abducting Arnold is the other side of the Benedict Arnold story. I'm sure you haven't heard. Now, the interesting thing about Becky is she's an anarchist. Now, let me explain before you go off the rails on me. An anarchist simply means that she doesn't believe in government at all. Now, don't get me wrong. When they say anarchist, most people think that you just want, you know, mayhem and carnage and destruction. And no, that's usually the communists and the socialists that are that way. A true anarchist in the sense, or a libertarian extreme, whatever you want to say, isn't anarchy at all or destruction at all. Their view is that we don't need government. What we need is God and people who will obey God and people who can use their own negotiating skills to develop private contracts to take place of government traditional functions or traditionally governmental functions, if you will. So she's saying, hey, we can have a neighborhood that contracts with a private company to take care of policing. We can do the same thing with our water and our power and our sewer and whatever. And anything that government does for you, we can have organizations do for us. But it can be an at-will contract. We can leave one company that's not doing a good job with our trash and find somebody else, or we can do it ourselves. And her contention is that, you know what, the problem with government is they always misuse their power and they always run off the rails and it always leads to tyranny. And the sad part is it's about impossible to argue that she's wrong. Okay? You say, Sam, if you're a constitutionalist and she's an anarchist, why do you have her on the radio then? I'll tell you why. Because she's a dear friend, number one. Number two, she's a critical thinker. And number three, she's got a lot of good things to contemplate and bring up and focus on. In other words, her views are not entirely wrong. Now, she would say that I'm slightly off, and I would say she's slightly off, fine. One of the great things about Liberty Roundtable Live is we can agree to disagree agreeably. We don't have to agree on everything. Both Becky and I agree that we need to get rid of 90% of the government. Now, I should say, and Sam, where you're wrong is you just got to get rid of the last 10%. And my comment would be, Becky, where you're wrong is we don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need to keep the last 10% because otherwise a vacuum will be created and it'll be filled by a greater power and it won't go well. And there we can disagree. But you know what? Until then, we got still 90% of the government to get rid of, right? And furthermore, how many things, how much can we do towards Becky's point? When do we really have to have a government Or when will something else suffice and probably do better? It's a very tough balance to discover, and I don't know all the answers. But what I do know is this. She's a critical thinker. She's a well-known historian, and she brings a lot of valuable information to the table about, hey, what's wrong in America, how we got to the wrong places, what needs to be done to correct it. An incredible delight to discuss politics with, for sure. And a free thinker, somebody who really puts thought and time and effort and research into her viewpoints. And you know what? I'm willing to entertain anybody's viewpoint as long as they're, you know, respectful and willing to discuss things. You say, Sam, why don't you have a communist or an a communist or a socialist or a on the radio? If you can agree to disagree with those guys agreeably, can't you? Say, yeah, I can, but they can't. Right? They won't come on the program, folks. You know, I remember going to the Republican convention, or maybe it was the inauguration of President Trump. Anyway, they had the women's vagina hat brigade out there. I don't even know what it's called. I'm not mocking it. It's just as I remember. And I tried to invite one of the women on to discuss, you know, why they were there, what they were doing. And I was not going to be rude to her. I was going to let her just say her thing. And you know, what is your focus and what are you guys doing? And, you know, how many of you are here and what would you like to see accomplished? And I was going to be very fair with my discussion points. They wouldn't even come on the radio with me. They just refused, flat out refused. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm willing to talk to just about anybody openly, candidly. And I'm hoping that, you know what, in the free exchange of ideas, I hope to encourage people to understand my point of view. Maybe they'll change and agree with it, but not likely. But what they can at least do is understand where I'm coming from and why, and maybe respect me for it and say, you know what, I don't agree with Sam, but he is polite. He is well thought out. He does passionately believe in what he's saying and doing. And for him, it's not a joke. For him, it's real. And I completely disagree with him, but I respect him. I hope I can get people to understand my view. And I hope to do the same for others. They say, first, seek to listen, and then seek to be heard. It's kind of that philosophy, right? Anyway, I digress, except for Becky Akers does a wonderful job, and I'm grateful to have her with us once a month. And she's no doubt a truth teller and a liberty fighter. That is for sure, and I'm grateful to be involved with her on the radio. So there you have that. That was yesterday for 2 hours. We talked about members of the Oath Keepers could soon be getting plea offers from federal prosecutors for their involvement in the January 6th fiasco. Reuters brought that up, and I'm saying, why is the government offering plea deals already? Because they don't have a leg to stand on, that's why. Over a dozen defendants' lawyers say they got plea offers, but none of them will take them because the terms are way too excessive by your belligerent federal government. The other 12 indicted Oath Keepers are already pleading not guilty and saying, we're not going to take that, we're not doing it. Only John Ryan Schaefer from Indiana has pleaded guilty so far. Charges dropped against a New York man, Christopher Kelly, arrested during the January 6th event. The government realized they didn't have a case and had to drop it. He didn't go into the Capitol like they thought he did. Just wow. Hour two with Becky Akers. We talk about the government, federal government case falls apart. Capitol Hill investigators ask for a 60-day delay so they can build their case against the January 6th protesters after the FBI's conspiracy claims imploded. The liberal fake news media simply oversold the January 6th attack. They claimed it was a terrorist attack, an armed insurgency, a pre-planned plot to take over the U.S. Capitol. It turns out it was all a lie. They didn't find a bunch of armed people. The only people that got shot was a poor veteran female that got shot by your government, right? Nobody else even got shot. They didn't find a bunch of guns. It wasn't a big coup like they claimed. Donald Trump was right on the points. He peacefully asked us to look into the election fraud. They never got that done. What we know about the unprecedented U.S. Capitol riots, ladies and gentlemen, and what we know is it's not as you've been told. You've been lied to so many times, it's not even funny. The U.S. government, by the way, has a history of protest infiltration and false flag operations. That's what we know. We also know Biden declares Pride Month, vowing push for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer rights. The U.S. Postal Service wants to raise your rates on stamps from 55 to 58 cents as inflation starts to take its ugly toll on Americans. Meat processor is a victim of ransomware attack. We talked about that. We talked about the Bill and Melinda Gates met with Jeffrey Epstein in 2013, made Melinda mad. She wasn't comfortable to be there at all, but Bill Gates, just like Bill Clinton, loved Jeffrey Epstein. Why did Jeff die? The female friend of Jeff is in prison, but we don't see any progress in her case. And everybody else involved roams free. What on earth is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Joe Biden did indeed meet with Sun Hunter's business interests as vice president. He lied, claimed he didn't, got caught lying, and now he did. The problem is, what are you going to do about it? There is no accountability in the swamp, ladies and gentlemen. Sadly, the swamp is so evil, so deep, so deceptive that they literally ran Donald Trump out of town. What can we, the people, do? Americans tried to peacefully say, let's get to the bottom of this vote fraud thing, and they got betrayed, and false flag took over, and most of them now that were there that went into the Capitol, even if they had peaceful intentions, we even have videos of their peaceful intentions, they're all in trouble. So much to a second one pleading guilty. Rioter that stormed chamber, guy's name is Paul Hodgkins, is the second rioter now to plead guilty. So we have two pleading guilty now. So out of that whole day, they only have two that have even pled guilty. And the question is, have they been unfairly, dishonestly intimidated into pleading guilty? That's the real question. Hang tight, Brian Rust in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Worldwide, nations have been stripped of their rights and freedoms to make their own choices in life. Choices are made for them by their government. Insane, isn't it? Attend Red Pill Expo 2021, June 5th and 6th at the Monument Convention Center in Rapid City, South Dakota. Can't make it to Rapid City? The expo will be live streamed and archived should you miss any of it. Red Pill Expo is the major public event of Red Pill University. The mission of the expo and the university is to bring together world-class experts to set the record straight on fake narratives, fake history, and fake news. At each and every Red Pill Expo, truth seekers unite to get a better understanding of how the world really works, a world where collectivism reigns. It's time for individualism and an open mind. Mark your calendars and make your plans now to attend Red Pill Expo 2021. Get more details and register today at redpillexpo.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Hey, thank you much, Sam. Glad to be with you.
Thank you. We have so much going on. It is shocking of what to even discuss, sir. Let's start out with honest money. Over the past 50 years, Rust, Coin, and Gift has been working to educate customers about precious metals. RustCoinAndGift.com. What's the honest money report? How's gold looking, sir?
Gold sitting at 1883.90.
So it's hardly changed, huh?
Yeah, it hasn't really changed. I mean, you know, we're looking at some little slides here and there. Last week it was over 1900, so now it's back down a little bit just with the peaks and valleys that they tend to push. So, yeah.
All right, silver.
27.64.
6.4. And it was at 8.2, so it's dropped 20 cents or something is all.
Yeah, and it was over last, you know, it was over 28 as well, over 28. So we're seeing some, you know, there again, you know, sometimes the summer months tend to be kind of a, you know, it slows down a bit, but yet we're still seeing quite demand for physicals. So still holding pretty tight.
All right. How much can I get one of those silver quarters for? You know how they have the dimes and quarters. How much is one quarter now?
Oh, shoot. Let's see what those are doing. You've got, it's about $27 per divided by the four, so about $6.75.
Because they have a little less silver in them, right?
Well, yeah. So a dollar, four quarters, 10 dimes, the two halves would have 0.77 of a pure ounce.
And so can you get those cheaper than $6, or are they around $5, or are they still more?
Yeah, so they're $6.75 right now is what they cost you, $6.75. Wow. Yeah.
So there's not really a break on those even these days, is there?
Well, they don't produce those anymore, so you're buying, you're trying, you know, people that are looking to invest in that, and it's a popular investing piece that, you know, we used to use that coinage, and so it's a popular investing piece, and it's smaller increments as opposed to a one-ounce silver piece, like a Silver Eagle or a Silver Round. Your coinage, you know, I guess if you were looking at a bartering type scenario, then a dime and a quarter would, you know, even if it doubled, you'd still, you know, it isn't drastic amounts of money as opposed to a round, all of a sudden maybe $50 or $60, $70, let's say. So that quarter, maybe $15, you know, buying power on a smaller item or tradable item or something like that would be, you know, feasible at that point.
The reason that I bring that up, ladies and gentlemen, is to help you understand that there's more silver in a Silver Eagle, Silver Dollar, or one of the one-ounce rounds that say, you know, 99 troy ounce or whatever it is on it. That's different from the dimes and quarters that you buy that have actually less silver in them. The reason there's less silver in them is to make them hard enough to be transferable and usable consistently. It's no game. However, because of their lower values, when prices increase, they become more and more and more relevant, as Brian just pointed out. So right now you got a quarter, it's worth $6.75. That's like a 26 times ratio right now, 25 cents of its face value to it being worth about $6.75. His point is, in tough times, that might be worth $10, $15, $20, and you might wish you didn't have a Silver Eagle Silver Dollar, because it's going to be worth a bunch of money. You might be grateful that you had a dime or a quarter. If a quarter was worth $15, you know, a dime might be worth $5. What's a dime worth right now,
right,
Brian?
Well, your dime
$2.80 or something, $3.
$2.70 roughly. Based on that, you know, you're looking right now, you'd be paying about 37.5 for an ounce of pure silver coinage. So it takes about $1.40 to make an ounce of pure, and so you're paying about 37.5 as opposed to, you know, a silver round might cost you 34, for instance. So it might be a little less than this. But yeah, the smaller increments,
but understand, folks,
you tend to pay more.
Thank you, Brian. The reason I bring this up, though, is when it comes to, is a word barterability? Barterability? Is that a word?
Yeah.
Ability to barter. Anyway,
there you go.
It becomes relevant, though, to say, listen, we don't care exactly about the dollars and cents translation back and forth when it really comes to that. It might be that we're going to start looking at a dime as $5. We're going to look at a quarter as, say, $15 or something like that. Because they're smaller denominations, and because it relates to how many you have. And if you have a Silver Eagle, Silver Dollar that may be worth $100 at that point, you're going to wish you could break some change, or the equivalent thereof. So my whole reason to bring this up is, folks, you want to get Silver Eagle, Silver Dollars. You want to get dimes and quarters, too. You really do, folks, because that barterability becomes so uniquely beneficial at that point, to where we're not literally translating everything penny for penny. What we're really doing is saying, hey, let's have value be relevant to what it is. And that quarter might become a $20 bill, and that dime might become a $10 bill. You would say, well, that's not accurate. I know. Don't care. What else are you going to trade with? What other medium of exchange can be solid for you? And it kind of ends up being that way in a real world, doesn't it, Brian?
Yeah, it does. Diversification in that sense is definitely right. In 1980, I mean, gas stations, R.C. Willie Smith's grocery stores, they were taking coin in trade for product or gasoline or furniture, whatever it may be. Well, in that sense, when they termed the fact, okay, we've got a fair market value. Well, fair market value is this dime's going to get you so much and so on. But a lot of times they weren't giving you, I mean, back X amount of change to offset the little bit of difference in your product. So you want to have a little bit of diversification so that you could, okay, here's some dimes here, here's some quarters here, as opposed to here's my 5 1-ounce silver rounds, let's say, that are $70, and I'm not going to get the change back or whatever. So you get a little closer to maybe your buying power or the price of that, whatever you're purchasing.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's worthy of a discussion. What's the smallest thing you can get in denominations? You know, a silver dime at one point was like 10 cents, but now it's really like almost $3. And as the price of gold and silver continues to rise in a barter scenario, it'll be worth at least $5. What do you kind of think it'll look like? What's the smallest thing I could get? What can I get smaller than that? Anything?
Well, they make a silver nickel. During the war era of 1942 to 45, they made some silver nickels that have some silver in them. They're selling, I think, for about $1.75 or so is the silver value in those, $1.80, somewhere in that. And so,
and are those plentiful or not smallest. Really?
Yeah, I had a client a couple of years ago bring me, what it was, 70,000, and now they've talked to me here. I talked to them a while ago, and they have 150,000 of these nickels. So yeah, it kind of it's pretty crazy, but yeah.
Because I've never really heard of the nickels compared to the dimes and quarters. Is it still the 72% silver value comparative or what?
Yeah,
the same ratio.
Well, they're kind of. I'm trying to think what the actual ratio is on those, but it's. I think it's pretty similar to that. Yeah.
All right. So the reason I bring this up is you could easily see those nickels being worth $5, the dimes being worth $10, and the quarters being worth $25 in a trading scenario, huh?
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah, and your silver rounds now are $75, $80 maybe, or $100. Yeah, $100, whatever it is. Yeah.
Wow. And then, of course, when you get a whole lot bigger than that, the silver eagle, silver dollars, you would either use bars or better to go to a kind of a gold piece at that point, huh?
Yeah, and a lot of factors, too, is I get a lot of clients, you know, those clients that might have quite a bit of money that they want to put into metal or so on, it's about storage. So if they've got, you know, let's say they've got two or three bags, we call a bag $1,000 face value in silver coin. So they've got four or five bags of those, let's say, or they've got, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 in rounds or silver eagles. Well, storage becomes a little bit factor, and so you buy a tube of 20, just a little tube you hold in your hand of 20 gold pieces. Well, shoot, there's $2,000, 20. That's what $40,000 just in that tube. Where $40,000 in silver, yeah. Now you've got a nice big pile that's starting to stack up. So that's usually what my clients are doing.
And to me, what you do is you kind of do all of the above. You kind of start small and you say, hey, I'm going to buy nickels, dimes, quarters. As you get a little bit more money or you start to get enough storage of that where you feel like, hey, I got a little pile. I don't want it to, you know, be too big. Then you kind of go say, I'm going to start getting silver eagle, silver dollars or 1 ounce rounds. I like the silver eagle, silver dollars a little better myself. I know there's a little bit of a premium on them, but you know they're from the United States government as well, and sometimes that means it's money versus the other is a silver value, not money. So you got to be careful a little bit there. But then you can go into some of the small silver things, or gold things, as you get more money. And really the best scenario would be you have a lot of gold and silver. You got a little bit in each of the different denominations for different reasons and purposes. And then you take some of your money and you put that into food, you know, beans, bullets, band-aids, as we like to say, a little bit in everything. Medical supplies, storage, land, water. You know, you want to round yourself out very well. When we come back, the government's trying to round themselves out. I'll tell you how. This is Liberty Roundtable Live with me, Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The FBI is blaming Russia for a cyber attack on the world's largest meat supplier. JBS was hit over the holiday weekend and forced to shut down all 9 of its beef processing plants. JBS saying they will resume production at all of their plants on Thursday. Democrats and Republican lawmakers on Wednesday visited the Texas border with Mexico as part of their push for legislation to respond to the surge of illegal immigrants. Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott also issuing a disaster declaration earlier this week, which directs state troopers to enforce all federal and state criminal laws.
We're about to change the way that Texas addresses the challenges on the border, and we're going to start by helping these 34 counties respond by increasing arrests.
Abbott speaking there on Fox News. This is USA Radio News.
Recently, Facebook announced its ban on former President Trump, but promised to review the ban in 6 months. Now, Newsmax wants to know if you think Trump should be back on Facebook. Vote in Newsmax's national poll and let us know your opinion. Just text the word North to 39747. That's North to 39747. It takes just seconds. Make your voice heard. We'll share poll results with the 30 million people who watch Newsmax TV. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. It's already the fourth largest cable news channel in America, with great recent guests like Donald Trump, Mike Huckabee, Franklin Graham, John Voight, Alan Dershowitz, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, and so many more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. So vote now in the Newsmax poll on Facebook's Trump ban. Just text North to 39747. Let Newsmax and America know your opinion.
Republicans in the House have introduced the Stars and Stripes Act of 2021, which is designed to prohibit certain political flags, like the Black Lives Matter flag, from flying at diplomatic and consular posts around the world. This comes after the State Department issued a memo declaring support for the term Black Lives Matter ahead of the May 25th anniversary of the murder of George Floyd. The State Department previously authorized embassies to fly the LGBTQ pride flag from May 17th through the end of June, which is Pride Month. 3 officers shot on the job in Delaware are hospitalized and in stable condition. Police say they were responding to a call late Wednesday night when a gunman inside a nearby apartment complex opened fire. A SWAT team has the building surrounded with the suspect barricaded inside. Neighbors and those living in the area have been told to stay in their homes until police give the all clear. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com with me. Headline says Fed takes closer look at creating digital money. Janice Mihalak is the author. The central bank is beginning to explore the risks and rewards of a digital dollar. Kind of an interesting tidbit there, to say the least. They talk about stable coins. Like Facebook's project, formerly called Libra, now it's called stablecoins. Wow, the only stablecoin that I know of, ladies and gentlemen, is constitutional currency, Brian.
That's right. There you go. So I guess them creating a digital dollar, is that to compete then with the Bitcoin and Litecoin and all the other digital out there? And so they want to get on board so they don't miss the boat or something to that effect?
Yes, sir. That's what it is. And they're calling it stablecoin. In my opinion, is part of the most deceptive statement they could ever make. It's kind of like how they do everything, though. Pro-choice means kill your baby. Stablecoin means just let them manipulate the currency till the cows come home. Ultimate counterfeiters on center stage display, whatever. They say that the everybody getting into all these different coins are the big driver. Top Federal Reserve officials have made clear in recent days that the central bank will spend this year taking a closer look at the possibility of a digital dollar, a push partly motivated by concern that private sector digital coins could come to dominate the payment system. Jerome H. Powell, the Fed chair, announced last week that the Fed will issue a, quote, discussion paper this summer looking at the benefits and the risks of a U.S. central bank digital currency. they say, which would basically be a digital version of cash, whatever that means. He made clear that the Fed had not yet decided to issue the digital currency, but just that they were looking at it at this point. The paper represents the beginning of what will be a thoughtful and deliberative process. Mr. Powell specifically cited stable coins, that's digital coins that tie their value to the dollar or another underlying assets. They say the Fed needs to understand how to oversee those payments. Why we got to reject fraud and instability in the payment system. The Fed has other motivations for looking into a digital dollar, by the way. They say other nations, including China, are further along in developing central bank digital currencies. And the United States wants to make sure that it has a prominent seat at the digital coin table, Brian.
That's right. That's interesting. You know, it's, they want us to go digital. You know, they have been wanting this. It's more control, basically, on, you know, if it's, and I don't know, you know, they say the blockchain, they can't. But if you look at the Fed, which shouldn't be there anyway, we're paying the Fed, what, $1 billion a year for interest alone on the money they print. There's no doubt they want to be in the game because they're apt to lose all this money that they continue to make on our currency, which is absolutely ridiculous that we pay interest on the currency that we're making to spend. I mean, they got to have their foot in the door. I get it, because they tend to lose all that money.
Now, listen, here's what the final kind of statement of the article says this. Even if they don't create their own coin, they need to make sure that they regulate and control it. Why? Because you need a stable system, and they're the ones to make sure everything is stable for you, Brian.
They've done such a great job. Wow.
Now, how stable is it? Hold on. How stable is it when a $100 bill costs 2.5 cents to create, then they put it in circulation at $100, and then they charge us interest on it so we can never get out of debt? Yeah. How is that creating stability? The average dollar used to be a dollar. Now a Silver Eagle silver dollar costs $40.
Yeah.
And they're saying they're creating stability?
You can see the writing on the wall there, I hope. I mean, there's no stability. I don't trust them anyway. So for them to be, I've got to have control so that they're going to take care of us. That's crock. I mean, my $20 gold piece at $2,000 still has value. Now, I don't know what that means, but that means it still has value. That $20 bill, it's not going to buy me a whole lot.
Well, and here's what's funny. They would say, well, at least you don't have to have a wheelbarrow, Brian, to bring in all your money to buy a carrot, you know?
Yeah. There you go. Well, I'd rather have a tube of $20 gold pieces than a wheelbarrow full of paper.
Well, there you have it, a tube of $20 gold pieces. How many are in there, by the way?
Yeah. Well, it'll hold 20, at least.
So let me get this right.
Yeah.
1883.90, right? 1883.90 is what silver is, right? Or, I'm sorry, what a gold piece is, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what they say on paper. That's what they say on paper.
Yeah, how much do they really cost?
You're gonna pay 1975 and up, basically, for a gold piece.
I'm just going to say 2,000 because I'm kind of stupid, right?
Yeah, yeah.
2,000 times 20. Display is 40,000. So $40,000 in my hot little hand in one little tube.
Yeah.
That's some big money, buddy.
You can carry that in your pocket. That wheelbarrow full of paper ain't going to do you any good. You can burn it. You can light it on fire. You can, you know, some people use it for toilet paper, they say, you know, but anyway, it's, yeah.
Yeah, you can roll it down a hill, but like the country song says, I still wouldn't trade it for a Coupe de Ville. I hear that. By the way, these are $20 gold pieces, if I'm not mistaken. So 20 times 20 is 400, right? It's really only worth $400, but they claim it's worth $40,000 in their stability money plan.
Right.
Wow. 400 to 40,000. Yeah. That's a little bit of an increase.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and
four or
digital,
five of those tubes.
Digital.
Go ahead, Brian.
You know, you get into that digital a little bit. I worry so much about, you know, digital currency because you know, I don't want to have to go to my bank or others and wonder what happened to maybe something, a glitch. Well, there was a glitch in the computer. What happened to that $20,000 I had earned and worked hard for? Well, the glitch, we've got a glitch. We're not sure. Everything kind of shut down. We're going to have to go back and kind of see how, what happened to, yeah, everybody's, you know, accounts. I don't want to have to do that. You know, I work hard for my money and so on, you know, and I just don't trust that a push of a button. Before I know it, I'm trying to prove the fact I had money there.
Yeah, Brian, come on. You act like there's going to be someone out to get you.
Yeah, there you go, darn it.
But the who made the phrase, what happens if they really are out to get you?
Yeah, right? Good point.
And that's kind of an important discussion to really have. And if you have a lot of constitutional currency, they are out to get you because they don't like that competition, buddy. That's the problem with these central banks wanting to get into the Bitcoin or the digital coin reality, ladies and gentlemen. They don't want you to have any stability factor outside of their control world. And that's why they're like, we don't even have to own the digital currency. That doesn't matter. What we have to do, though, is be in control of it there. We have to regulate it and make sure it's good for you.
Well, there's so much corruption. There's been so much corruption. They want us to buy in and have trust. They want us to say, okay, well, you can trust this. You can, but there's been so much corruption. How do we trust that? I mean, we, you know, peace of mind, in my opinion, is the fact that I've prepared myself, my family. You know, I have the ability to help others as I can. But at peace of mind, I have that here. I don't have to run down and to the bank and say, hey, where's my money? I don't have to. I mean, yeah, I might have money in the bank, but I don't have to run down and get in line, right? I have peace of mind because maybe I've got some silver, I've got some gold, I've got some tradable things, food supply, everything. And that peace of mind is king in a sense. You know, we don't have to, you know, it has, that's the trust right there. That peace of mind, preparing yourself and family and being in a good position, calling upon God to bless you and help you, that you can also help others as a result, right? So I think the house in order, I guess.
All right, headline for you to round out the hour, or round out the segment with you, Brian. Here it is. I want to get your response. A 23-year-old in Massachusetts pleaded guilty to hacking social media accounts to steal account names and cryptocurrency worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, according to the DOJ. You want to respond?
Well, there you go. Supposedly, they can hack into it, right? So if there's those that are just trying to sit in the room and hack into your stuff and so on, how safe is that? You know, that supposedly supposed to be impossible to hack or whatever, but it seems it can be done. Is that what they're saying?
I guess so. Anyway, it's kind of an interesting tidbit. Looks like Eric Meigs, M-E-I-G-G-S, Eric Meigs, I think that's how you say it. Anyway, was targeting victims with large amounts of cryptocurrency, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
They used a procedure called SIM swapping to get it done. Anyway, very interesting indeed. Thought would bring that to your attention as well. Brian Rust, my friend, thank you so much, sir.
Hey, thank you. Have a great day, Sam.
There he goes, RustQuentinGift.com, doing a phenomenal job on your radio.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. As you know, RedPillExpo.com coming up starting Saturday and Sunday. I fly out tonight for the event. So do many other speakers and influencers, etc. Alex Newman being chief among them. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam. It's great to be with you.
There's so much to talk about, so little time. Red Pill this year, as far as I've been told, is going to be bigger and badder than ever because everybody wants to go to South Dakota where there's a little bit of freedom, Alex.
Yep, it's true. And, you know, I'm right now in the state of Florida, which I believe is probably the freest place on planet Earth at the moment. But for those people in the other 49 states, I can completely, or the other 48 states, I can completely understand why they would want to go to South Dakota, because South Dakota has really held the line better than almost all the other states on resisting the COVID tyranny. And plus, it's going to be beautiful there. There's going to be amazing speakers. And actually, the Black Hills of South Dakota is one of my favorite places in the world. You've got, of course, Mount Rushmore. You've got Crazy Horse, incredible monuments to our history. And plus, it's going to be a great time with great people. So.
And you're going to have G. Edward Griffin, Alex Newman, Sam Bushman, just to name a few, live there coming up this weekend, redpillexpo.com. If you can go, please do. If you can't, they will have online streams that you can sign up for and be part of the proceedings from the comfort of your own COVID home, if you will. But really, there's no two places freer in the country that I know of than Florida, Ron DeSantis, and Kristi Noem in South Dakota. Is there anybody else standing up as much as those two?
Not that I know of. It's, you know, we have been so blessed to be here in Florida during this whole mess. It's, I'm just thankful to God for our governor, and at the local level too, we have just had amazing people. We unfortunately have some local governments that have been pretty tyrannical, but then our governor stepped in and said, hey, if you get any fines for violating any of their dumb COVID restrictions, then you can just throw them out because you are officially pardoned. So now it's been wonderful. And I really hope that other governors are looking and taking a lesson and realizing, hey, this is popular, right? Ron DeSantis is now earning himself a national and even an international reputation. This is going to be very, very good for him politically. And, you know, politicians, take note, right? Not only is liberty good, not only is it constitutional, not only is it perfectly compatible with health. In fact, Florida did way better than the states with the most tyranny. We had like half the death rate of New York, for example, with that lunatic tyrant. It's amazing. It works. People love it. And there's something to learn there for the governor of Utah and for the governors of all the other states that have abused their citizens throughout the last year.
There you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a lot of speakers there. Now, there's so many things going on. There's going to be media and booths outside in the main area. Then there's going to be an inside presenters hall. The inside presenters hall will have live video. That's what you can pay for at redpillexpo.com. Streaming of the speakers and the proceedings inside the venue. Outside will be people milling about and buying and selling books and learning about different booths, and I will be there live with my radio show. Alex, are you guys doing video this year again too?
Yes, we will be. We will be doing regular interviews. We will be providing all sorts of content, not just through the Red Pills streaming function for those who are buying, but also I'll be there gathering videos, interviews, and news articles for The New American and other publications. So.
By the way, that's newamerican.com, jbs.org. For Alex's info there, you can watch his incredible videos and a whole lot more there. You're going to speak too, right?
Yes, sir. Yep. I've been one of the organizers and one of the speakers at every Red Pill Expo so far. And this year, my topic will be the dark agendas of this COVID pandemic. And so I'll go through a little bit of the background here, how they tried to terrorize us, how they tried to steal our liberties, and more importantly, where they think they're going with this. Right? They have a lot of horrific, evil plans for us. They want us all to start carrying our papers. They want us all to take these experimental gene manipulating shots with incredible risks and very little benefits, as far as I can tell from the doctors that I've spoken with. And they're using this to try to take our most fundamental freedoms. Who would have thought 2 years ago that the battle wouldn't just be about our gun rights and our free speech, but now we'd be battling for whether we can open our own businesses, whether we can walk around outside and breathe air without a ridiculous diaper on our face. I mean, who would have imagined 2 years ago? And yet here we are. We've got to resist, because if we let these totalitarians, these evil, sick tyrants get away with this, it will be much worse next time.
And I do believe this is a trial run, to make your point. Now, let's be clear, too. I'm not so much shocked that they would pull a shenanigan like this. They've been involved in false flags of a variety of kinds for quite some time, although this one takes the cake in terms of its depth and breadth, for sure. However, what surprises me a little bit is how willingly the citizenry is to just roll over and take it. Okay, when we are told that we needed to, whatever, for 2 weeks, I get how people might have fallen for that. But when 2 weeks turned into 2 months, you kind of go, whoa, hold on. But we've let it go for a year, and now still half the population is against those of us who want it stopped. I mean, somehow I am surprised that the people are so willingly trading their, quote, liberty for security. They'll end up with neither, as the founders warned, Alex.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Sam. And I'll admit, I was shocked at the willingness of the American people to go along with this nonsense. Now, I know there was a lot of resistance. I know there were a lot of people who resisted and stood up and refused to comply. But, if you had asked me before the pandemic, would the American people surrender all their liberty in the face of some scary virus or something like that, I would have said, well, some will. The goobers that still watch CNN and believe with that garbage. But, most of us wouldn't. And yet, the compliance of Americans. Dictators have known for a very long time. Adolf Hitler understood this. Lenin, they all understood this, that the way to get people to give up their liberty is to try to scare them, to terrorize them with some sort of boogeyman that only you can keep them safe from. So, we've been aware of this psychological trick that tyrants use for a long time. But I really thought that the American people, coming from this rich history, tradition of liberty, and defiance of arbitrary, wicked government decrees, would have said no, at least a significant segment of us. But with a handful of exceptions when it comes to our elected leaders, and our elected leaders, I think, are, at least before this last 2020 election, a fairly accurate representation of the people they purport to represent. Because after all, at least until 2020, when the elections just started being blatantly rigged, generally these people were elected. And so it's just terrible that Americans have become this dumbed down, this cowed. But we've got to resist. The tide is turning. I think this woke a lot of people up, Sam. I think millions of people who a couple of years ago were just couch potatoes sitting on the sidelines, they're now involved, they're now awake, they now realize that these tyrants want to take our liberties. And hopefully that message will keep spreading, and the next time they try to pull something like this, they will be held accountable instead of us giving up our freedom.
I hope so. We've really learned something, though. Donald Trump and others spoke out about the media. I was one of the people, and you were one of the people, that really highlighted the media's shenanigans before Donald ever came to be. I've created presentations, He Who Owns the Media Makes the Rules, and another one called The New Media Takes Center Stage. But the reason I bring this up is they've really shown they can absolutely paint a narrative that we're not big enough to crack yet. Although they're losing ground in this, because it took us a year, but we finally cracked the lie that it didn't, that it was just an animal to whatever human transfer, that it really it was created in a lab. Now the debate is not, was it created in a lab? They're all admitting that it was. The question now is, was it accidental or intentional? And did the American people, through Anthony Fauci and others, pay for gain of function research? And we're learning that that is indeed the case.
Yes, and this has really serious implications, Sam. What we now know is that the fake media and the big tech companies, in collaboration with the lunatics in the federal government, deceived the American people for a year about the origins of this virus. I am firmly convinced this was a biological weapon attack by communist China. And the fact that the media censored and the big tech companies censored anybody who was pointing that out, that raises some really significant questions about accountability. Who is going to be held responsible for now delaying the American people's understanding of the true nature of this for over a year? It's actually exactly what the scientists that Ron DeSantis, my governor, convened some months ago warned about. They said when you have these totalitarians censoring all dissenting views, you end up having really serious dangers, because people, you know, the way science and the way medicine advances is by people being able to have a discussion. That's how sensible people refine their conclusions and come to better conclusions. And yet when you have these, you know, transgendered purple-haired geeks in Silicon Valley deciding who can speak and who can't, including, by the way, scientists, some of the top scientists in the world that DeSantis convened, they were all censored when they did this summit. So scientists from Harvard, Yale, Stanford, Oxford, the video was pulled down from YouTube, but they warned that this kind of censorship was going to have profound dangers. I think it's time to talk about accountability. We cannot let something like this happen again.
There's no doubt more and more evidence points to China weaponizing the coronavirus and that it was not an accident. The sad part becomes, you know what, how much was Anthony Fauci and others involved? Then how much was the CIA or other Pentagon type deep state government, what military or whatever else? How involved were we is the real question, right, Alex?
Yeah, and there are so many strands to this story. We need to be looking at all the funding that Dr. Fauci was handing out. I've interviewed a lot of doctors. They've got the receipts, right? We know the grant numbers where they were funding this research. We know the scientific publications that they published in the peer-reviewed journals about their research weaponizing these coronaviruses. So, you know, the American government is involved here. The communist Chinese government is involved here. And, you know, we cannot rest until there's accountability, because if we don't hold somebody accountable, they will do it again and again and again.
The question becomes when and how fast, because they know they're losing control. They know that we're exposing them, and they're trying to stay ahead of us right now. And you see all kinds of evidence that they're panicking about a lot of this. Will they just lead us into a war if they start really losing the honesty battle, if you will?
Oh, that's a real possibility. In fact, they've known that war is a very good tactic for advancing their agenda for a long time, keeps people distracted, gets the government totally in control. So, yeah, people need to be very aware. You know, we are in a situation now where so many people are waking up so quickly. We need to be aware of potential false flag attacks, new fraudulent narratives, outright political persecution. We are in dangerous times, my friend.
I know you got to fly. Look forward to Alex Newman's speech and his live videos from redpillexpo.com. You can check out his work, jbs.org, and thenewamerican.com. Thanks, Alex. We'll talk soon, my brother.
Thank you so much, Sam. Thank you so much.
There he goes, doing a phenomenal job as always. I am Sam Bushman. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips. News the networks refuse to use, straight ahead. After all, we declare this nation shall endure, but you gotta get involved, people. We are the greatest check and balance this country knows, right? The founders expected the people to be involved as the great check on the deep state. God save the Republic of the United States of America.